Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
946. That's 1-800-963-09.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Wait, stop the presses, and hold the phone. Fresh off the news that Barry Laminack is the permanent, he has already jumped ship. He's on a world tour and book signing.
He gone.
He gone. He may be back Wednesday, and then again, the Wally Pipp of the world may make this all a moot point, because I welcome you to the show, and as we do each and every day, we check in. Only today is special because it is the debut of No Hit Nick, who is now the producer Nick, who is now the on-air sidekick Nick.
What up, Joel?
Who Nick could be? You could be ruling the world by Friday.
I guess this is my radio debut because I've never sat on the other side of the glass ever.
That's what I was thinking.
Not once.
So Jong is definitely doing us a favor by sitting behind the glass.
Yeah, he is, for sure.
Yeah. Thank,
much appreciated to Jong.
Yes, and you are joining me on Valentine's Day. So the love has been felt, and that's it. We're done. So you've got Valentine's Day. You have a lot of love in your heart and no one to share it with, so you might as well share it with the listeners.
Nobody loves me. I don't even have... My mom's not even in town, so I can't even get flowers for her. She's, like, overseas and out of town, so... Yeah, I don't really. I'm not going to do much. What about you? I'm sure you've got big plans with Lisa.
No, we're married with a kid now, Nick.
That means no Valentine's.
Nah, nothing. That's not true either. By the way, Mario Eli was the first person we contacted to try and fill in. He wasn't able to do 3 hours because of the fact that he has kids at home and things to do. But he's going to join us starting at 1:15.
Totally cool with that, man.
Right after that, kiddingly, because it was Valentine's Day at the house this morning, I threw it out to my wife, who said. And I quote, "I don't want to steal your thunder or embarrass you, so I'm going to pass." So all of a sudden, because you do TV at KHOU, you think you got the world by the grapes and you're going to embarrass people. I see how it is. So immediately, Jong and I were talking about it, and I said, and we were both on the same page, and said, Quick Nick should be the guy. So you're
much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Yeah, so I do have some ideas for Valentine's Day. But did you see those numbers I sent you?
Which numbers?
You see the amount of money people spend. And by the way,
yes, Jong, let's
just congratulate Jong, because we haven't had a chance to do that for getting engaged.
That's right.
On Saturday night. That means that this Valentine's Day goes through the roof in terms of how much you have to spend and what you have to do.
For me?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Absolutely. Once you just put a ring on it, and now you have to make sure that for the next year, you live up to everything that she always dreamed that her Prince Charming was going to be before you actually tie the knot and seal the deal. Once you tie the knot and seal the deal, especially then after you have a kid, you're off the hook pretty much. Now it's a card, maybe a flower.
See, now she has plans with her friends tonight.
Oh.
So, I'm going to be at work here. So she's going to like happy hour and stuff before I get off of work. So she's doing that. And I gave her some Valentine's Day thing stuff yesterday. Like I gave her some flowers. I gave her silent auction that was at David Gow's house the other week.
Yep.
We actually purchased one of the Marvel posters, and she was a little disappointed. They didn't have any Wolverine stuff, so I actually went on eBay and bought one of a signed Wolverine X-Men poster that had Wolverine on the front. So that I gave her that for Valentine's Day as well. So, and I put a ring on it a couple days before. Yeah. So
congratulations on that, man.
Oh, thanks.
Because he's fresh off of that, I would imagine, though, this Valentine's Day is much easier because, you know, the relationship is not necessarily fresh. I imagine you've known her for a while, but it's kind of a new step, so it's still kind of a new, fresh thing.
Yeah, it's been 3 years since we started dating, and I think I'm okay. I also got her the Ultra Boost from Adidas.
There you go.
You're a big Adidas guy, aren't you?
Not really, until I tried on the Ultra Boost.
Yeah?
And they're the most comfortable pairs of shoes I ever worn.
Cushioning good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know,
you're not a big Adidas guy.
I'm wearing Adidas today,
Well, in terms of shoes.
But yeah, in terms of like basketball shoes and running shoes, I don't do Adidas. No. But I will say this, and I've always been a Nike guy. But if you guys haven't tried it, especially if you do any kind of running, there's a shoe and you guys are going to think that it's kind of it's got something else involved in it. It's called the Hoka 1-1. Hoka and then the words 1-1 spelled out twice. They're like for real runners and marathoners and outdoor runners on road and stuff like that. They claim to be the most cushioned running shoe in the world. I ordered a pair online. I just got them. Amazing.
These are not the ones you're talking about where it had that technology where you can adjust the tightness of the cushion,
nope.
Essentially?
This one, though, this one guarantees 2.5 times the cushioning of any running shoe that's out on the market today.
So you're probably not going to keep this pair of shoes in the garage.
I have to keep most of my shoes in the garage, Nick. That's not something we had to publicize, but it is true that most of my shoes do stay in the garage.
Yeah,
I keep them by the back door... Now, let me ask you this. You've seen my house before.
Yes.
I keep some of them by the back door. My wife says it's an eyesore that people can see from the street, just like when I hang the leashes on like the outdoor light. It's ridiculous.
I didn't notice it.
See? No one does, but she does. So therefore, it has to
be changed.
But
the reason why, I didn't mean to publicize, but the reason why I brought it up is because you're always telling me about how humidity and how it can ruin the cushion and things can separate in your shoes and all that other good stuff.
And El Jefe can sympathize with this. And John, maybe you can too. The pennies, the foam posits, and shoes from Nike from the late 80s to the 90s that used foam technology instead of the full-blown Nike Air. If you do not, even if you do store them in a dry place, cool, dry place, the foam disintegrates after a certain amount of time, and the bottoms of the shoes just completely fall off. I had a pair of Kenny Smith shoes from the year they won the championship. I had them boxed away.
Yeah, you told me about that. That's crazy.
The bottoms fell off. I had a pair of Brett Favre shoes that he wore for an indoor game in Detroit in like the early 90s and saved them, signed the whole works. I brought them out one day because I thought I was going to get a shoe, you know, display case for them, and the bottoms fell off. The foam had disintegrated. So you got to be careful about those kind of things.
I would imagine those shoes that you just bought are definitely going to be kept inside for a while, at least until they get old.
Well, but yeah, but they're not for fashion because believe me, my wife calls them my special ed shoes because the bottoms are extremely thick.
Yeah.
So yeah, they don't look quite. And here's the other thing, and both you guys could get in on this, but so I've got my normal Saturday morning basketball game. You played once, Nick, but we play indoors. I finally saw someone. We had a new guy play on Saturday. Says he lived in Nashville his whole life. He had the Steph Curry white on white old man shoes.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. And I flat out said, we said several times, we're like, those are good with high Argyle socks and shorts if you're cutting the lawn. Or you get with those, you get a discount on your mall walking hours. And or you can get double coupons at Randall's and Kroger. But there is no way anyone should be displaying those as a ball and shoe. If you're hooping in that shoe, you are open to criticism and you deserve it.
Is he just a big Steph Curry fan?
I didn't know him that well to ask, but he wasn't the greatest basketball player in the world either. But he did like to shoot from 35 feet out, so that you might be onto something. He may be, in his own mind, Steph Curry.
Like Mark Jackson said, all these kids, they just want to step up, like, you know, step 3, 4, 5 feet behind the 3-point line and try to practice 3-pointers that way. It's no good. So maybe he did think he was Steph Curry.
You guys see that, by the way, last night? A little letdown after the old win over the Thunder in OKC for KD's return. Warriors got blasted by 20. By the Denver Nuggets in the Mile High City. And oh, by the way, Rockets fans, the Nuggets on en route to that big route, 24 threes tying the Rockets record for made threes in a game.
Yeah, that was 23 or 24?
24. They had 24 last night, so that ties the Rockets, who broke the record at 23 against Golden State. I guess if you want to make threes in a game, you play the Warriors.
And I figured they would actually break that record again, because I remember Eric Gordon when in one of the games in the locker room after the game, he was just certain that they would break that record again. So, and when you looked at that 10-game win streak that we were talking about, it did look like they were, but yeah, they're kind of on a slump.
Well,
right
and
now.
I think they eased up the last time they had 24. They actually could have gone for a lot more.
Obviously, Gordon and Anderson need to be healthy if they want to break that record
and
again.
And we need to get to that at some point during the show because there is still issues with that. Don't trust Ryan Anderson with a steak knife and or any kind of cut glass around the house, but he did practice today. And then Eric Gordon, because the knee bone is connected to the backbone is connected to the whatever else is ailing him. He practiced today, and if he feels good tomorrow, he should give it a go. He's missed 6 games already this year.
Yeah, from the ankle to the toe injury to the back, the tightness in the back, that's the 3 separate injuries that I can recall this
and
season
sore
for
knees,
Gordon.
But he plays
and
through
the knees,
them.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
By the way, for both of you, because this is important, but John, I guess you're off the hook, even though you shouldn't be. Americans will spend today in billions of dollars. Any guesses? How many? For the day. For the day. For Valentine's Day. Americans will spend how much money today?
I can't cheat.
Two?
$18.2 billion on Valentine's Day.
Mostly on flowers, chocolate, and like,
oh, I got that
jewelry.
For you, too.
Okay.
Now, I want to tell you, that's $136.57 per person. And we know that the chicks aren't doing that for the dudes. That's all one way. I mean, you had to go tooth and nail to get Jim Harbaugh to sign a Wolverine poster. So, I mean, there are things that had to be done. Okay, in order of what that is spent on for 2017, candy, greeting cards, dinner out, flowers, jewelry, lingerie, gift cards. I don't agree with that order. I would think flowers and jewelry would be higher, especially with that amount of money. But that's just me. Valentine's Day, my wife is also a huge chocoholic. So I know that anything with See's candies, and I'm also good, but I also always make sure I include flowers. Because then the next, when again, you're going to find this out when you're married, John, and someday, Nick, you will too. The fact of the matter is that once you're married and you do that, if you just did the See's candies, you know what you're going to get?
What?
What, do you think I'm fat? So instead of being nice and giving me flowers, you're going to send me chocolates all the time?
Well, it's nice that she loves chocolate, because not everybody loves chocolate. I've actually dated people that are not huge fans of chocolate, so it's not an easy... See, that's an easy win for
you. See, I'm not going to sell my wife out, but I know that there are people out there, let's just say, that believe that you shouldn't give flowers because they're going to die, so they don't really have a value because they're going to die. You should spend it on something that has a more lasting appeal.
A fake flower, maybe.
We have a lasting appeal. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock. It's Jung, it's me, it's Nick. We're going to be rolling along. Mario Elie set to join us for the next hour, 45 minutes, talking basketball. If you want to get in with Mario, as he was just recently honored by the Rockets down at the Big Sequoia, he'll be joining us. And then we have the Valentine's Day of all Valentine's Day. We should have Dre versus Trey in the Battle Royale based on a little bit of a beef that started on one of our shows a while back. It has continued a little bit this morning, but it's going to be full-blown this afternoon. As if you don't know, you better ask somebody. You better get on Twitter, and you'll find out. But we should have a good show for you. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text us or hit us up on the phone lines. If you want to reach us via Twitter, we'll get you our addresses in a minute. But we are ESPN 97.5. Place to find the lovers at the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Don't call it an upgrade, but we have agreed to Barry Laminack's day off already. So Quick Nick is sitting next to me. Jung Lee is behind the glass. And by the way, if you want the Twitter handles for all of us because you want to reach us via Twitter, it is Jung Snow, but the zero instead of the O. So it's at Jung Snow, at the producer Nick, which again has changed, and at Pac-Man Joel. If you want to reach us, that's with a K. And by the way, if this goes well, Nick's going to be changing it again to just the man Nick. But we'll see how long
super
it takes
pumped for Mario Elie
to get that. Yeah, so without further ado, let's get 17 in here. The man who made 17 famous in Houston well before there was a large quarterback with a large salary and not a large stat sheet down on Kirby with the Texans. 17 in the Kiss of Death joins us right now, my man Mario Elie. Fam, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good, Joe. Doing babysitting this week. My kids are off from school. Just finishing training them. I got to go feed them after I get off the phone with you, buddy. But all is good.
Now, you going to throw an apron on and flip some pancakes and make some lunch, or are you ordering out?
I'm going to take them out, dog. I don't cook,
okay.
Unfortunately.
All right, so you got Joel and Nick in the studio. You got Mario right there. And first and foremost, I want to say one congratulations. I told you at the time, I thought it was a long time coming that they honor you in some way, shape, or form. Because as we've talked about, yes, there was Dream. Yes, there was Clyde. Yes, there was some star power there, but without the guys like you and the role, Robert Ory, Sam Cassell, all the guys, VMAX, the guys that came together to fill every role necessary, there wouldn't have been championships in Houston. So I was really, really pleased, and even more pleased. I know you got me a bobblehead because those bobbleheads are badass with the kiss of death.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job with the bobbleheads, Joe. My head is a little too big, but but of course I got one for you. It's an amazing night. I want to thank the Rocket organization just for a great night. Family enjoyed it. It was a great tribute. And like you mentioned, Joe, you know, you don't win championships. You understand that you have the stars like Dream and Clyde. But it's the other guys, like you mentioned, Otis, myself, Carrera, Sam, Vernon, who are guys who really help add to a championship team, guys who step up in big moments, guys who go compete every night. It was just an amazing honor. And once again, I thank the Rockets.
Did you ever expect that, Mario? You speak. It's Nick Sciarra with you, and we're speaking with Mario Ellie here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com. Did you ever expect that one time in your career that you would have, you know, something like a bobblehead, you know, of yourself? Did you expect that after winning those back-to-back championships?
I really didn't. You know, it was funny. Probably my first bobblehead of my career. I got to be retired to get a bobblehead, I guess. But it was a great moment being a part of it. You know, championship history here in Houston. Been 22 years now, I'm thinking, since we won that championship.
So almost, yep.
People now know how hard it is to get there. You know, it's a very difficult task to win a championship, but that 2 years probably was the most fun I had in my life with a great group of guys, with a great group of Warriors, guys who I would be in the bunker with without question, and to achieve something great in a great city like Houston, you know, fourth largest city. You know, us having the only championship here beside the, you know, the Houston Comets, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, you know what, Mario, the rumor is out now between the Cavaliers game coming up and the last Warrior game coming up later in the season, because they were looking to find the top 50. Richard Petruska and John Tabak are in a vote-off for the Cavs game, and then Chucky Brown and Pete Chilcutt will actually be in a vote-off to try and make up the final Warriors game. Just so you know, those guys are great too. See, I was just kidding. I just want to throw that out. I was waiting. I knew you were going to give me that silence like you know those guys.
I can barely hear you guys. Can you guys turn up the volume?
Okay. Okay, we got it. All right, so I said that there's a vote-off right now between Richard Petruska and John Tabak for the Cavs game and Chucky Brown and Pete Chilcutt for the Warriors game for them to make the top 50.
Oh, you got to get Zion and Chucky in there, man.
Hey, come on, man. Your boy Chili Pete started a lot of games in that second championship run.
That's true. But if you say you voted in Chucky, if it was two different ones, if it was Pete and Chuck separate, of course I get them two guys. But you telling me Pete and Chucky are on one, I got to go with my man Chuck.
Well, I'm also telling you that I got some land to sell you on an island right off the borough of Brooklyn. So I kind of made some of that up. But I just thought, look, the minute I saw it, you know I tweeted you because I know you deserved it. You sat there courtside. You had the whole family there, which was great. But you got to watch this Rockets team. And you and I have talked about it over and over, both on and off the air. What you see and what the fans get right now, are you good with that team? And can you tell me right now they're going to compete for a championship? Or are they still a piece away? Or do they need to make a move or two before the playoffs start?
I just think they may be a piece away. I'm still worried about when James is off, and if James happened to miss a game or two, what is their next step? I think they need just another piece, you know, another big maybe, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe good. But I'm just thinking, you know, they're having a great year. James has been outstanding, who's my MVP this year for sure. Should be no hesitation. But to me, they just, to compete with the Warriors, you know, and the Cavs and teams like that, I think they just may need one more piece. Because I was here during the game when they played the Warriors. The Warriors just came in and dissected them.
Yep.
You know, really blew them out. And if they can add another piece, you know, maybe not a super big piece, but another guy they can throw out there, another big, I think that'll be good for the Rockets.
Now there's a piece that just went away today that I thought would have been the ideal fit for that team, depending on what they would have had to give up to get it. But that piece is now on the wayside. So I want to talk about that with you. You're going to join us till the top of the hour. So we might as well squeeze in a break here and then come back with that and a whole lot more, because I want to make sure we stay on schedule. But I do want to get your opinions on that, because that was a guy that I had earmarked as a guy that was the perfect fit for the Rockets. So we'll get to that in a whole lot more. We're just going to take a quick break and be back in two. It's ESPN 97.5. I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico. Say the word and we go. You can be my freaka. Girl, I'm ESPN
97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, in case you missed it, it's a Quick Nick Tuesday. It's a Valentine's Day special because I love my guy Nick behind the glass. So Nick has traded in his cans, headphones, people, and his switchboard of sorts, his producer board, and he's put on his broadcast mic and his broadcast voices. He is sitting next to me and joining Mario Ellie, who is joining us for about an hour, and we appreciate that from number 17 from the Ketchup and Mustard days. And before the break, Mario, I teased it, but I do want to get your take. Big trade goes down in the NBA today, and I really believe that there's a correlation here. So first, the Cavs announce Kevin Love out 6 to 8 weeks, knee surgery, maybe even out longer than that. Right after that, Serge Ibaka is traded from the Magic to the Raptors for Terrence Ross and a future one. I got to believe Toronto seized the opportunity and said, okay, the Cavs haven't been playing great. They lose Kevin Love. We get Serge Ibaka. We got a chance to get that one seed in the East and make sure it goes through Toronto, and we're going to take a shot.
Yeah, that's a great point, Joe. And, Toronto is made to win now. They don't need no draft picks. So I think that's why they made that move. And Serge is going to be a free agent, so he may want to sign back with them. They got a great core. They got a great backcourt. I love their center. I think their one weakness is at the three. But adding Serge, I mean, you mentioned Kevin Love going down. That means LeBron's going to play a lot more minutes. Kyrie, which they don't want. So Toronto sees the opportunity, sees the moment. I thought that was a great trade for them. And you make a great point. Kevin Love being out, that's going to hurt them. So that means Channing Frye is going to start. Granted, he can shoot the ball, but Kevin Love can post up, can run the floor. To me, Channing is sort of limited as just a pick and pop or a spacer. So I think Toronto could make a move right now. They got a chance, like you said, to get the one seed. And that's a tough place to play up in Toronto if they get that home court.
Nick and I were talking about this before the show, and he was asking me my take on Terrence Ross. I say he's more of a poor man's DeRozan, but you don't need him as much because DeRozan plays so many minutes at the two. You agree with that?
I do, and especially what he brings off the bench. The thing I think they're going to miss with Terrence Ross is the three-point shooting. He can get high from the three-point line, but if you can give me Serge Ibaka for Terrence Ross, I'll make that trade any day, because Serge can also shoot the three, mid-range game, could protect the paint, and then can space the floor also. So I think that was a great trade for Toronto, great move by Masir, how you say, Masir, the GM up there. Thought that was a great move.
Yeah, Masai Ujiri.
So let's go over to New York, Mario, and discuss the situation with Charles Oakley and the New York Knicks. And a lot's transpired over the course of 2 weeks. You saw Oakley getting escorted out of the building and then eventually got arrested. And then you saw Latrell Sprewell kind of, reconcile with the team. And now, Michael Jordan and Adam Silver had to get involved to, quote unquote, lift this ban off of Charles Oakley. What do you make of this whole New York Knicks situation? And do you think the Knicks approached this the right way?
I mean, they didn't handle it. A lot of things, they dropped the ball on a lot of things. I got a lot of feedback from what went on. Oakley did say something to the owner. But you don't send four people over there. You send one person over there. So a lot of people dropped the ball. I grew up 5 minutes from the Garden. Yep. Granted, I played for the Rockets. Granted, I've been in Houston all my life, but I'm a diehard New Yorker. I really care in the back of my mind what goes on with the Knicks. And Oakley's a fellow Division II player like myself, who I know personally, who is a good man. And the way this went down was very disappointing. And I'm just glad to see they're taking steps to resolve it. You know, that's the most important thing. Both parties drop the ball on it. You don't embarrass Oakley, who's meant a lot to that franchise, who did a lot for that franchise. And now I'm hearing he's being let back in the garden. I'm glad the ban is lifted. And Oak wants to apologize, rightfully so. You don't question a man's manhood. You don't know if Oak's an alcoholic. He never been pulled over for a DUI. He's never been in alcohol rehab. So you're calling out a man's character publicly. You don't do that. No. So a lot of things went wrong. I'm just kind of glad it's going in the right direction. And finally, apologize, Oakley. Let him back in the garden. You and Dolan, you know, shake hands. And you deserve to be back in the garden. It's a bad look for the Knicks. It's a bad look for the NBA. So I'm glad Michael Jordan and Adam Silver sort of stepped in. And sort of hopefully this thing is out there. We're talking about this too much. There's a lot of other great things going on. Connecticut winning 100 games in a row. You know, trade deadline coming up. Baseball coming back. Let's talk about good things instead of talking about this Oakley thing every day.
Well, and Mario, you know, I was going to get to that. You know, you're a native, and you've watched the Knicks. It's a storied franchise. And obviously what's going on both there with Phil Jackson and the whole Carmelo conundrum, and then Magic Johnson finally being brought in to try and help the Lakers because the Buss family just seems to be driving it slowly and then rather quickly into a brick wall. Those are two of the franchises that everybody thought were the elite of all elite, especially in the NBA, but maybe in all of sports. And you've had a lot of experience watching both and very close eye on the Knicks. You know, what can be done? Is Magic the right move in L.A., at least a step in the right direction? And then what can be done to turn around this entire debacle in New York?
Let me start with the Knicks. I think it starts with Phil. Very disappointed how quiet this man's been throughout everything that's going on with the Knicks. I don't want to hear from you. Don't be like Trump. I don't want to hear from you on Twitter. Talk to people personally. When you're in a GM president role, you got to build relationships. Hearing that people don't even want to sit down and have dinner with Phil Jackson, that's not a good look. I hear bad things about Dolan. That's not a good look. The Garden is the Mecca. Everybody wants to play in the Garden. How you don't want to play in New York, the Mecca of basketball? And with the mess going on, me being a fellow New Yorker, is driving me crazy. If you want to attract good free agents in New York, you got to clean that mess up. And it starts with Phil. As far as the Lakers, great move. You got Magic Johnson, who knows about the game, who's a great businessman, who has relationships around the league, who brings credibility to that franchise instantly when you hire him. I mean, then hearing Magic talk today on the sports stations, talking about his first call is going to be Kobe. That's how you want to build your franchise, around winners, around people who are respected, about hard workers, around MVPs. So the Lakers did the right thing by bringing Magic in and having him help out, and hopefully they'll make him president because that guy knows about basketball, and he also knows about business, and he also knows about people. I don't know if Jim Buss can do the stuff Magic can.
We're speaking with Mario Elie here on ESPN 97.5. Follow Mario Elie on Twitter, Mario Elie 1. I kind of want to go back to the back-to-back championship years, only because, you know, this is my first opportunity to interview you. You know, when the Rockets won that first one in 93-94, I was only 10 years old, and one of the things that I appreciated about the team was the team effort and how, you know, the camaraderie that was on that team. But I want to know, like, did you feel like there was anybody on that team that wanted to do more, that wasn't necessarily content with the role that they had, especially any of the backups?
Well, I was one of those guys. Me being from New York, wanted to play, and the matchups weren't just in my favor. You know, I was young and brash back then, and I would say stuff in the paper. I wanted to play. You know, I wanted to be out there. You know, I was my competitive spirit. But with Mason at the three and Oakley and Charles Smith, I really couldn't get a lot of time. So some guys pulled me to the side and said, "Mario, it's about the team." I was sort of a little selfish at the time, wanting to play, especially me being from New York, wanting to play at home in front of my friends. But that matchup wasn't right for me because they were too big up front, because I did play the two and the three, so I got to play a little bit of 2 minutes, but really couldn't get on the floor at the three spot because them guys were just big and physical.
So what would you tell a younger player that's not necessarily starting or who wants more time? How would you approach that? How do you approach ownership? How do you approach the coaches? Like,
can you speak up? I can barely hear you.
So how would you approach if you're a backup player on an NBA team, how would you approach ownership and coaches on the team to let them know, hey, I want more time. I think I can be a bigger piece of this team.
You can't really do it. You got to go do it on the court, especially when you're a backup. Starters, you know, they can go up and do that. But when you're a backup, it's sort of hard. You sort of have to earn your minutes and wait your turn. You know, I was a guy, you know, when guys got hurt, I was hoping guys got hurt where I could play. That was my mentality because I know once I get on the court, I'm going to prove to let people know what I can do. But as a backup, you can't go to ownership and be like, yo, I need to play. It doesn't work like that. You know, it's a NBA is a business. Coach handles that. You know, the coach is the boss of that. And Rudy did a great job of handling our personalities. He knew I wanted to play, but he said, Mario, this is not the right series for you. So he knew how you got to get the right leader on that bench to communicate to the guys on the bench.
Wait, Rio, I'm a little confused. I'm shocked by the fact that someone would think or that you would even admit that you were a bit crotchety, a bit grumpy, and there were things that when it bothered you, you came out and said them. That's news to me.
You know me, the junkyard dog.
That's right.
I just wanted to play, but Rudy knew how to put me in my place. And the leaders on our team, Vernon would grab me, Robert would grab me. Them guys knew how to push my buttons.
Well, let's mention VMAX for a second. He was sitting behind the bench the other night with the game in Charlotte, and I could not have been happier. You and I have talked about this a few times leading up to this year. What a great opportunity to get this guy back involved with the organization because, yes, there was a kind of an ugly divorce, but, man, the Rockets would have been really, really hard-pressed to get all the different accomplishments and the championships they got without number 11. Well before Yao Ming, there was a Vernon Maxwell, and he was one hell of a player.
Preach it, Joe. Preach it. I thank Vernon every day. That dude made me a competitor, going at him at practice every day. That dude made me better. Never been around. That's one of my best teammates of all time. Loved that guy to death. Competed every night. Wasn't scared of not one person.
Yeah.
Nobody. You know, you got number 11 on your team. He's going to compete. He's a great teammate. You get in trouble, first guy that'd be ready to fight is going to be Vernon.
I said it. I remember in Portland. I remember in Utah. But if you ever thought a player was going up in the stands, well before all this stuff publicized these days, VMAX, before you could even say another word to him, he was three steps up. He was going to get him.
And that's VMAX. VMAX said it in the piece. He doesn't think. He just reacts. You know, and that was Vernon. Vernon was just reactive, but the shots, the big shots, the big plays, that game 3 in Phoenix. Well said, Joe. We don't get these championships without number 11. Just
right.
The performances he put on, the big shots he hit, the game-winning shot. Vern could be 1 for 15. That next shot coming, he believes he's going to go in. Just right. A great teammate, great player.
So here we go. I want you to brace for this. I'm going to give you the break to think about it. But I know that you're an honest guy, so you're going to give me the answer. I want you to tell me, coming back from the break, who was the best teammate you ever had? Because it could be VMAX, it could be Clyde, it could be a lot Sam. But then I want you to tell me who was the worst teammate you ever had. And it doesn't have to be limited to the Rockets, but we can start there and see what you got in terms of feedback. And I want you to hold off till after the break so people can stew on this a while. But Mario Ellie's going to be sticking with us here for quite a while, and we appreciate him having him on the show. And he does have to get the kids lunch as well. But that's why if you guys have questions for Mario, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know via phone or text, and we'll get them in there as well. We are ESPN 97.5. Each time we die.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Barry's out today, so it's Joel and Quick Nick. Jong behind the glass doing a little double duty, but at least he has all class with him as his fiance has joined him for lunch, so that means that the upgrade has already been made on the staff for the afternoon show. And since Mario Elie is the native New Yorker, and because his Giants took it in the shorts hard in the playoffs to a team.
So did the Packers, buddy. So did the Packers.
Yes, they did eventually, but at least they put you away. And we had quite a lot of talk going back and forth between us on that one. I set it up before the break, and we've asked several players this, ex-players this. We did it on Radio Row. We did it with Kevin McHale. But I'm curious, because I know you're an honest guy, but I just kind of, and you can go through, you know, you won a title with the Spurs too. So I'm just, you know, it's the Rockets, it's Spurs, however you want to do this. But I'm looking for your best teammate. I'm looking for your worst teammate.
It's hard for the worst because I play with a lot of good dudes, man. Yeah. I had a lot of good teammates. I can, I'll go, I got a bunch of good teammates. I got to go Vernon, Sam, Tim Hardaway, Jerome Kersey, God bless him. He's not here with us.
Right.
Those four guys were just very, very good guys. Who I can't keep in contact with Jerome now, but the other Vernon is hard to find. But the other two I do keep in contact with.
Okay.
Bad teammate. Wow, let me see with the Rockets, Warriors.
I know one you had in Portland, brother, but that's because not while you were in Portland, but I know what happened outside of Portland that might have put him on that list.
Really?
Come on, man.
Jerome was cool.
Dude threw a ball at you.
Oh, Ainge?
Yes.
But we were never teammates.
You never crossed paths in Portland?
No.
Okay.
You talking about a player, my most hated player I don't like? Yeah, he definitely are.
So Nick was going to ask you the one player you'd punch in the face. Pretty safe to say we just identified him?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, I figured that. So, bad teammates. I mean, look, you were blessed with good teammates with Mully and
Mully and Mitch Richmond, and went to Portland with Clyde and Kevin Duckworth,
Terry Buck Porter.
Williams, great teammates, Terry Porter. I mean, just good dudes.
David Robinson, Avery Johnson. I mean, you did have a ton of goods, but come on, there had to be a bad apple amongst the bunch.
I mean, I really hung out with most of my teammates. Some guys who were married, you know, lived their married life, but. Yeah. Most of the guys were pretty good, man. Most of the guys were pretty good.
I'm surprised. I thought you had one pegged, but we'll let it slide.
When you told me to think on the break, Joe, I was thinking hard, brother. I'm like, man, I had some good dudes.
Okay. All right,
Mario. Now, one of the things that I think has been like a common question is who's the greatest of all time. I won't ask you necessarily who you think is the greatest of all time, just because there's a big consensus that Michael Jordan is. But if you think LeBron could ever surpass him, what would it take?
I just don't think. I mean, granted, LeBron been to a lot more finals. To me, it's Michael Jordan because of the competition, man. I mean, when we played, the competition is way better than it is now. Simple as that.
I was going to say, Mario, it's so much. I mean, yes, it's an accomplishment to say he's been to 7 straight finals. The two things, because I had this ongoing battle as late as this weekend, a friend of mine was convinced LeBron's the best of all time. And I said, when you look at it, you can factor in so many different variables. But he's been to 7 straight finals. But is that more of a factor because the league's watered down? Or is that because he was so good? And the other thing was Michael never jumped ship to join a team that already had superstars. And arguably, the only superstar he ever played with was Pippen and then a bunch of role players.
Yeah, you got to throw Rodman in there, even though Rodman was a Hall of Famer. But I agree with you on that, Joe. It's just, to me, it was a competition back in the day, man. And Cleveland's been in the East. LeBron's been in the East his whole career. East really hasn't been strong. I mean, you look at the All-Star. There's none but guards in the East. Ain't no big man. Ain't no really dominant big guy like when – you know, when we played, it's Ewing, it's Elijah Wan, it's Robinson, it's Mourning. I mean, it goes on and on. Barkley, Karl Malone, you had some great bigs back then. And you look at the league now, there's no good, really good bigs.
Yeah.
I mean, Cousins, to me, is the only guy big that got a box game. Yeah, name me another big.
Now, wait a minute. And on Boogie Cousins. Jumpers. On Boogie Cousins, because you had firsthand knowledge, you coached this guy. I've said all along, if he could straighten it out between his ears, he could dominate this league. But it's more about what's going on up in his attic than it is anything about his abilities.
Not just the best big man. I think DeMarcus Cousins, if he has as good as his mind right, could be the best player. This big man can put it on the floor. He can pass. He can dribble. He can shoot threes. He shoots mid-range. He's a good free-throw shooter. He can face big guys up. If you put a smaller guy on him, he can go to the box. This guy is super, super gifted. And you mentioned it, Joe. He just got to get his mind right. You know, he's getting better, but, I mean, Tex and, you know, having to go having to go in the locker room to cool off in the middle of a game to come back out, I give him credit. At least he did that and regrouped. But if he would ever get his mind right, this dude can be the best player, period, in the league. He's that talented.
Rio, where are you on this whole rest thing? I mean, when you guys played, it was unheard of to think that someone was going to take a night off for quote-unquote rest. Now they're saying LeBron needs to rest a lot more so that he's ready for the playoffs. I mean, you guys had more of a grind because of the fact that the travel schedule wasn't quite as lush and plush and VIP as it is now with private planes and all the different things they go through. But, I mean, rest? Even when you coached in recent years, is that something that you even fathomed would be something that people would put on the injury report? Oh, we're going to give him the night off. He's resting.
Hell no. I mean, this is a great game we play, especially me, Joe. I love being on the court anytime I could. And all the great players did the same thing. I mean, a lot of guys were hurt, but they wanted to be on the floor because we love being on the floor. I love to compete. I love the game so much. I could never want to miss a game. How? Only way I miss a game is Bones with Booker, and that's the only way I miss the game. But it's just a different era we in, Joe. That's why I say it is. It's just a different era. Guys, you know, we're practicing too hard. There's only one contact practice in training camp. Man, I was going two-a-days for 3 hours when I was in Golden State for 2 weeks with Don Nelson. We were going two-a-days, 3 hours each practice. And now it's one contact practice a day. We don't want to wear them out. Man, you're getting millions and millions of dollars to play a great game.
I take it you agree with Charles Barkley then with the whole Charles and LeBron thing. Quit whining and begging for talent.
Exactly.
And just go out and play the game.
Dude, you got two all-stars, and you say you're the best player in the league. Stop trying to keep up with Golden State. Durant made a choice, which was a weak choice at that. You know, and I'm glad he got booed in OKC, rightfully so. Don't get all twisted about it and move on. They should boo his ass. And that's part of it, man. That's part of it. You talking about you want competition in the league.
Yeah.
You know?
I see you being more the Westbrook than the Kevin Durant in
absolutely
that whole battle.
Absolutely. I'm a Westbrook guy all day. You know, I'm a Westbrook all day. He's a warrior. He's an alpha dog. You know, he stayed with OKC. Eventually, I'm thinking he may leave for Los Angeles. But I just like this dude stayed. You know, he stayed the course. And look how he's playing now. He's just doing an outstanding job right now.
Speaking of Westbrook, how should Steve Kerr approach the All-Star game in the event that they, you know, have to play with each other?
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. Especially the way that game ended. I don't know what they were saying. I just know they were jawing at each other. I mean, it's gonna be interesting how that dynamic play. I doubt if we see interaction between the two guys. So it's gonna be interesting how Steve handles that. I know Steve wanted to see his four guys out there a little bit, so that should be interesting. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting how that Westbrook and Durant. Or if Westbrook's going to pass it to Durant, or Durant's going to pass it to Westbrook, that's the thing I'm interested to see.
I'm interested to see if Westbrook borrows any more of your wardrobe, because some of these outfits he's been taking from your closet are getting a little out of hand. But
I thought he threw on an Aaron Rodgers jersey instead of Willie Beeman.
It was not Rodgers, it was Willie. But good try. All right, I know you got to make lunch for the kids, but I appreciate you making some time for us. You've always been great to me and to the show, so I want to say thanks. Shout out, lots of love for that honor from the Rockets, but we'll have you on again soon. Take care of business, and thanks, my man.
Pac-Man Joe, you the man, baby. You the man.
Thanks, Rio. Have a great day. Mariola's been joining us right here on ESPN 97.5. We have much more coming up, including the Battle Royale. It's Dre, it's Trey, and it's on Valentine's Day. Let's see how much love goes each way. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.